Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your sanctuary. Your presence, your word says there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are only pleasures. Let the pleasures that is upon your right hand flow into our lives. May we not leave your presence the same as we came. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name, and somebody said amen. Wow, you may be seated, please. In the presence of the Lord. Are you glad to be here tonight? Wow. It's too powerful. 2 Timothy. You want to turn your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. Tomorrow we begin our convention. Yeah. So you don't want to miss it at all. Apostle J.H. himself is going to be around tomorrow night. And it's going to be fantastic. Your life will never be the same again, I tell you. You see. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you will. I'm going to read verse 20. But in a great house, the Bible says, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I want to read it again. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now, for a few weeks now, we've been discussing and we'll be talking about meat for the master's use. And when I say meat, I'm not talking about meat you eat. You get it? Just in case you just joined the boat. It's not meat we eat. Meat means ready for the master's use. There's a song that says, purify my heart, cleanse me from my sin deep within. And then he goes on and says, ready to be to do your will. There must be a purging. All right? We're looking at how can God use me? Hey, Jamal. Wow, welcome home. There's a party for you tonight. How can I be used by God? That's what we're looking at. How can I be used by God? Because in this world, you will be used by something. If you do not decisively, you know, allow God to use you. Oh yeah, you'll be very, very surprised that at the end of the day, your life will never be the same. Something will do something to you. Something will happen to your life. There are, you see, a lot of competition going on. Joel, There's a lot of competition going on in this world. There are disembodied spirits. There are disembodied entities that we normally call demons, who are looking around and going around looking for bodies to inhabit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because, for example, there is, you see, almost everything is from the spirit. When we talk about confusion and murder and wickedness and discrimination, all of those things are spirits. Now, a spirit then cannot operate until it inhabits a body. So, for example, people don't just sit down and say, you know what, I'm going to steal, or I want to be a thief. No. Some evil spirit, some disembodied, when I say disembodied, I'm talking about a certain force that is in the air, that is not in a person. And not until that force comes into a person, you will not have a human being going to take something that doesn't belong to him. Should I say it again?
Yeah.
All right. I'll say it again. We're in school, so. Okay. I'm saying that in this world, there are two forces. Even though one is stronger than the other, it looks as if they are equal. There's a force of darkness and the force of light. You have God, the Father Almighty, that all of us respect and honor, and we want to serve, and we are serving him. And then you have the devil, who was created by God as an angel, but then rebelled and therefore took the side of evil to destroy things that God has made. Now, he is powerful because God created him with power. Are you with me? Now, he fought against the armies in heaven, and he was able to take a few angels with him, a third of them, those in the choir, because he was in charge of the choir. Now, because he was an angel, or he is still an angel, angels do not have flesh. They don't have flesh. If an angel wants to come here, he doesn't. The doors can be closed. He will come. If an angel wants to come here right now, and angels are here, they don't need a passport and a visa. But if you and I want to move, we want to move from Guyana to any other country, you need a visa. Because somebody will look at you and say, where are you going? But if you are an angel, nobody will even see you to ask you where's your visa or where you are going. Are you with me? So you have good angels and you have bad angels. And then the angels are spirits. You can't see them, but they have a certain force around them. Now, the good angels don't force us to do things. The bad angels force us to do things. Nicholas, the bad angels, they force us. Now, they force us, but before they can force us, they try to see whether the door of your house or the door of your life is open. Once the door of your life is open, then they come inside and then they squat. You see, even though they are squatting, they make it look as if they are paying rent or the land is for them. So as much as the good spirit or the spirit of life or light, God's spirit and the angels and all that is around God, does not force us to do things. It's the opposite of the darkness. The dark angels, or what we call the demons, they cannot force us from afar. They need entrance into something that we are engaged in. They need some kind of access. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27 that neither give place to the devil. The reason why the Bible says neither give place to the devil is that if you ever give him a place, he's not going anywhere. Because it is so difficult to find a body and live inside. There are so many people with demons that there's supply and demand is not equal. So the Bible says that neither give place to the devil.
It means that do not allow certain things that will bring Satan into your life. Do not engage yourself in things that allow these evil forces or evil spirits to come into your life. And in our lifetime, as we live in this world, there are so many things we engage ourselves in that opens the door of our life to bad angels into our lives. So the Bible is saying that even if you have, you have these things around, if only you can kind of separate yourself from these temptations and these environments and you engage yourself in certain things, you will become qualified for the master to use you. And it's a privilege to be used by God. I said it's a privilege to be used by God. Because there are so many people who are being used by demons now. Yeah, somebody will give money to somebody and say, go and shoot that guy for me. And they'll go and they'll shoot that guy. Because in these people live evil forces who will push them and say, come on, go and do it. Go and do it. Go and do it. Go and do it. Why don't you? Don't you? You get money. Do it. You get a lot of money. They take advantage of our needs. Because Satan is very crafty. He's very sly. He's a wicked, crafty spirit who will make it look as if he's helping you, but then he's killing you and he's causing you damage. And God is encouraging us on Tuesday evenings that, you know what? Get yourself involved in certain things that will open you up for God to use you. Are you with me? And one thing you need to understand is that even though you are in church, being in church does not exclude you from being used by the devil. Don't be deceived. You see, that is what confuses the world. People who don't come to church or don't go to church are very surprised when a Christian sister or a Christian brother does something they don't expect them to do. It's like, what? You's a brother? Man, them church people, me trust them at all. No, church people are the same as anybody else. But you see, the Bible didn't say that Satan will not come into your life. The Bible is saying that you rather should not give place. So whether you are in the church or outside the church, once you give a place, Satan will come in. The Bible says that he, like a roaring lion, he's moving around. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. That the devil, like a roaring lion, he is going about seeking somebody he might devour. So as for him, he's looking for an opportunity. He's knocking on people's doors. If you're in your house and somebody knocks on your door, you don't have to open it. Yeah, you are not expecting a visitor. You don't open it. Even if you're expecting a visitor, you open it, you realize that, no, this is an ugly visitor. You close the door and say, hello, I'm not expecting you. You close the door. He's walking around. Your adversary. You see, your adversary, your enemy, the devil. The devil is our enemy. Yeah, he's the enemy. As a roaring lion, he walks about. He's looking. Somebody he might devour. And the Bible goes on to verse 9. He says, him whom resists, isn't it? Verse 9. Hello? Verse 9. Whom resists steadfast in the faith. It means that constantly you will have to resist the devil. The Bible says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil, and he will flee. If you do not resist him, Satan has patience than anybody else. Those of you who don't have patience, Satan has more patience. I tell you, long patience. Satan, you see, you can. Satan is a snake. A snake can live in your house. You would never know a snake lives in your house. Until one day when he makes a mistake and comes out when you didn't go to work. Yeah. Then you say, ha! Uh-huh. No, he has been living there all along. He hears you when you come in, so he hides. He knows when you've gone to sleep. It's like the rats in our homes. Yeah. Yeah. As you've left your house like that, oh, they're enjoying.
They are moving around. They are going about the place, going through your cupboard, going to the kitchen. They are all over the place. Now, you open your door and turn on the light. Shup, then they go to the back of the speaker. Yeah. At least they do it in such a way that they make us know that they are there. Yeah? But the snake, you will not. You will not, because he's so fast and sly. So the devil is also like that. And the devil does not show himself up. He shows himself, when we say he's sly, he appears in things that look so nice. You see, when something looks too nice, you should be careful to accept it. Yeah. And so when somebody sends you a message and say, you have won $5 million. You should sit down and say, you should sit down and ask yourself, what did I do? Who will send me 5 million? I don't remember asking for 5 million from anywhere. Who loves me in this world apart from my mother and my God? And that alone should make you know what? Forget it. Sometimes some people will send you an email and say that somebody has logged into your account, you have to change your email, your password. If it's not you, you should change your email address. Of course, as much as Yahoo and Google and all these people will send you those emails, you should watch the source of that email. So sometimes when you see it, even though the message it looks alike, the email address from which it came from is not any Yahoo email. It doesn't look business. It looks like a private number. I delete it. It comes again, I delete it. I said, if my password is a problem, you want to close down my email address, close it. I'll open a new one. I don't have time with you. They are genuine ones. And you see them when you see them. Satan is like that. He appears in very nice things. The Bible is saying, Ote, are you there? The Bible is saying that if we will purge ourselves from all these kind of sly activities that look like fun, that look like excitement, that looks fulfilling, but for a while, if only we can take ourselves from all these things, the Bible says that then we will be meet for the master's use. But to be meet for the master's use, you need to engage yourself in certain activities. And that's what we're talking about. We said number one is what? Your personal relationship with God. Your personal relationship with God. Everybody needs a personal relationship with God. Without a personal relationship with God, you are just riding on the clouds. You need a personal relationship with God. Once you have that personal relationship with God, He will know you and He will use you. Are you with me? In a similar sense, if anybody says they want to marry you, they love you, you should get to know them. Yeah, get to know them. It takes a long time to know somebody. People, they pretend, you know. People pretend. Once somebody is looking for something from you, they will pretend all the time. Yeah. Again, like I said, if you have a snake around, you will not see the snake just like that. He will hide as long as he can. As long. So you cannot just know people from a distance. That's why love at first sight is one of the most stupid loves you can ever fall in. Yeah. What's number two? Number two is what? Listen to preaching and what? And watching preaching videos. Okay, number three. Your personal fasting life. Number four, your availability. How can you want somebody to marry you and get into a deeper relationship with you when you are not available? It doesn't work. Number five, your financial input. I think that was the icing on the cake, isn't it? You want a lady, you want to marry a lady, and then you don't spend no money? You can't be the most cutest guy on earth. If you don't have money, you may easily not get somebody to and be your man or your woman. Number six. Number six is your people handling skills. Ashanti, your people handling skills. People handling skills. People handling skills. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. People handling skills. Wow. Church day, sweet papa. Sweet papa, hey. Share the BV people, they dance with the check, the sweet papa is not easy. They'll come again, right? Share. The convention is power packed too. I tell you, you don't want to miss even one night. You got to sleep here. The Bible says that if this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, if a man desires to be a pastor or to be used by God, that's all you must understand. If a man desires to be used by God, the Bible says that man desires a good work. Jigu, the Bible says, if you desire the office of a pastor, the office or the role of being used by God, the Bible says that you desire a good thing. The Bible says in verse 2 that even though you desire such a good thing, there are certain things that you need to pay attention to. Because your desire will be fulfilled, Anastasia, your desire will be fulfilled if only you will engage yourself in certain activities that will make you meet for the master's use. A bishop or somebody who is being used by God or a pastor then must be blameless. Must be blameless. It's a big word though. Yeah, blameless. blameless. The husband of one wife. You see, you can have 200 wives if you want. But once you desire to be used by God, the condition is one. I don't know who you are going to leave. The 200 you have. Now God says, if you want me to use you, you have to have one. He says that the person must be vigilant. You must be a vigilante. He says you must be sober, of good behavior. You must behave yourself. Yeah, you see him. And he says he must be given to hospitality. He must be somebody who is willing to entertain visitors and treat them well. Giving, he's given. He must devote himself to hospitality. Apt to teach. Apt to teach or able to teach. Able to teach. It goes on in verse 3. Not giving to wine. Not giving. It's like you have not submitted yourself to wine. Say, wine, here am I. Use me. Remember, it's not saying that you should not drink wine. You get it? It's very, very controversial. I don't want to go into that. But he says that he's not giving to it. You are not subject to it. Wine doesn't have power over you. Wine can't tell you, oh, it's 6 o'clock. Why don't you just take a glass? It has that power. It doesn't have that power over you. You are not giving to it. Not giving to wine. No striker. Can you give me 2 and 3 together? No striker. Not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient. Not a brawler. You don't brawl. Not a brawler. And not covetous.
You like shoes, you like clothes, you like wigs, you like nice shirts, you like things. You are not covetous. Yeah, you don't like eye wigs.
I need verse 2 and verse 3 together. Can you give me that? Or they can't give me that. Two things you want to pull out from verse 2 and verse 3. The first one is apt to teach. Apt to teach. And then the second one is no striker. Apt to teach and no striker. Now, when the Bible says that you must be apt to teach, you know, apt to teach. What we are trying to? What we are trying to do here is that if you are going to be used by God, you must be somebody who is a little able to pass on information in a clear manner. You cannot be used by God to deal with people when you cannot teach them. Because people need to be taught. The Bible says Jesus came preaching and teaching about the kingdom of God. So anybody who is going to be used by God must be somebody who is able to teach the principles and the things about the kingdom. And that comes with a certain kind of behavior, because it's people you are going to teach, people who don't understand what you teach them. If you are entering into the teaching ministry or teaching business, and you don't have love for people, you don't have people handling skills, you can't teach people. Are you with me? So it is important that the people that Jesus Christ has come and he has died for, those same people, God going to use you. He's going to put you into that same group of people. And he expects you to be able to take something that he has said and then bring it over to the people that he's going to use you to affect. Otherwise, he cannot use you, because he puts you among the people and you're just there. You can't say anything. You don't even know scriptures. And if you know scriptures, you don't even know how to explain it. He says you are not a striker. A striker is someone who hits people, who beats people. You cannot beat people of God. It's God's people. So that sums up a certain skill that you need if you are going to be used by God. People handling skills. Let me tell you, if you are going to deal with even two people or even one person in this life, you need to have people handling skills. People's problems, including you and me. We use problems, Rebecca. Oh, you are quite like that, but you use problems too. Yeah. People have problems. People have issues, complications. Yeah. Sometimes they come when they feel like coming. They do when they want, when they feel like doing. They listen when they feel like listening. Huh? They pay attention when they feel like paying attention. Or people's problems. I tell you. But with all these kind of complications, the Bible says that for God so loved these kind of people also. That's why he gave his only begotten son. So to be able to stand. You see, if you don't have a certain delicacy in your system to handle God's people, God will not use you. Because if God was going to look at how we behave, he would not come and die for us. I think I have the path here. Let me read a part of the path to you. Let me read it to you. I'm going to read something to you. Nice. You like something nice? Yes. Okay, wow. Nice people. Let me read this to you. There's a book called The Path, written by a very wonderful man of God called Rick Joyner. All right? And where's Ricky? And then he talks about a vision or a series of visions that he had. And he said something very interesting in one of the chapters. He was with a group of people, you know. And then let me read from this part. He says that the Bible is basically a history book. It is mostly about God's dealings with men and how he has accomplished his purposes. It is about God's dealings with men. God deals with men. Abigail. So if God is going to use you, you have to deal with men. Men of all shades and colors, like you know. Men are racist. Men are wicked. Men are selfish. Everything bad you can associate it with man. But God has been dealing with man since Adam. He says that history comes from the words his and story. His and story. My purpose for studying history, Rejoiner says, was to see his works in it, and by this, to know his ways better. However, the first 2 years of studying church history were probably the driest times I've ever spent reading. I did not realize that I was building a foundation of general knowledge that was necessary for the great revelations that were to come. Without that foundation, he says, some of the greatest treasures I found would not have even made sense to me, and I would have likely discarded them. He said, you must go through a wilderness to get to the promised land. This is a different sermon. You must go through a wilderness to get to the promised land. It means that everybody has been called from Egypt to Canaan. But between Egypt and Canaan, it's a desert. It's the Red Sea. It's a lack of water. It's a lack of meat. It's the tiredness. It's the weariness. It's the thinking back to Egypt, how things used to be. At least you were in slavery, but at least you have a place to sleep. What is this thing that I'm sleeping on the floor, on the ground? It says, everyone, you must go through a wilderness to get to the promised land. And that wilderness is usually the exact opposite of what you have been promised. So it makes you actually think that, is this promise true? Because what you are experiencing is completely different and opposite. God called you, he says, start the church. And when you start the church, the people and the circumstances, you wonder, is this true? Am I not the one who just wanted to do something opposite of what God has promised? He says, my wilderness lasted about 2 years in regard to my study of history. But since then, it has been a wonderful promised land. What was the single most important thing you learned from church history? A lady asked. He said, without question, it would be God's relentless pursuit of man. God's relentless pursuit of man. It's like God's ability to go and look for man without giving up. He says that is one of the most interesting, without question, it will be that. He says, and his unimaginable patience and love for man. He said, when you study history, one of the most fantastic things you see is God's love and patience for man. He says that even though God is constantly rejected or ignored by man. Jacob, are you there? It is the most painful love story ever written. And it is not over. You know a painful love story? When you love somebody and they don't love you?
Is it Teddy Pendergrass? It's so good loving somebody when somebody laughs you back.
Pastor E.
So good. It's Teddy Pendergrass, isn't it? Loving somebody when somebody laughs you back. It's so nice when you love somebody and the person returns your love. But it is something else when you love somebody and the person does not return your love. It's something else. The Bible says that God's relentless pursuit of man, not the Bible, rejoinder says, and his unimaginable patience and love for man, even though he's constantly rejected or ignored by man. It is the most painful love story ever written, and it is not over. He is in relentless pursuit of a bride, but to date, the bride seems to have little or no time for him. Not the bride. And you and us, you and me are the bride. And we ain't got time with God. I mean, you and I, you must be honest with yourself. We ain't got time with God. Every day he wakes us up. Every day he gives us air to breathe. Every day he makes sure that blood is flowing through us. But we wake up in the morning not thinking about him. You go through our day not talking to him. We come back to sleep forgetting about him. Meanwhile, he's just knocking. He's around there. He's a relentless pursuit. The love of God, the love of God. He says, so far it is the greatest of all tragedies. But he says, but we know it. We know it will have the most wonderful of all endings. He will have the bride that he's so worthy of. He said, we know that it's going to end well. He's going to love somebody and somebody is going to love him back. At the end of it, it will be one of the nicest love stories ever. And I'm teaching you tonight that this same human being or human beings who don't care about God, who kill one another, who hate one another, is this same people that if God is going to use you, he's going to place you among. Now, if he, God, is relentlessly pursuing a love that he's not getting, then if you don't have a certain skill to deal with people, then you will not be qualified by God to be used by him to deal with any human being. Because just as he loves his children, he's looking for a daycare teacher. Somebody who can work well in a play school of people who poo-poo on themselves. You see, we are like people who, after 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, we still poo-poo on ourselves. That there's nothing. You see, when a child is a when you have a baby, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, and they poo-poo on themselves, it's okay. The poo-poo is not even so smelly. But imagine somebody 15 years old, then they poo-poo, and you have to clean the poo-poo. It's a different poo-poo. I tell you, it's a different poo-poo. And you know when you are growing up, the poo-poo changes, isn't it? Because of the food you eat. And that's how we are. There are many of us, even though we are Christians, we still can't control ourselves. Anything bad comes out of us when we are not able to control ourselves. And God has to come back and say, lie down. And he takes the wipes, and he takes them, and he says, and he rubs your buttocks like that. And he cleans you up. And he says, don't worry, sit down. And then you don't even say thank you. And then before he could just turn around, another poo-poo has come. And he's patiently, lovingly taking care of you. He said, today I'm not going to church. Yeah, some of you don't read your Bible. The whole week you have not read your Bible. And God is still patiently and lovingly taking care of you. And he cannot take somebody who cannot love these people. He cannot employ anybody who cannot love these wicked people, these selfish people, this ungrateful generation, people who look back and don't have anything in the past to be grateful about. If you cannot stand among those people and treat them like how God will treat them, you are not meet for the master's use.
You are not meat.
You are not meat. You are not. You know what God did to Moses? Moses said, you know what? I ain't able. He said, don't worry. They say they want water. No problem. I will give them water. You just take your walking stick and point it to the rock. And then speak. The rock will bring water. The people going to drink. All right? Moses said, okay, all right, good. He was so vexed. He couldn't handle the people at that time because he said, you are what you want. What more do you want? He took his staff and he went to the rock. And instead of what God had told him to do, he says, huh? Drink. You want water? Drink. And God said, but that's not what I told you to do. But God, these people. God said, no. Not these people. That is not what I ask you to do. Whether the people are problems, whether the people are whatever, disgusting, whatever they are, that is not what we spoke about. Moses was affected by the disgusting behavior of the Israelites, and that caused him not to see Canaan because his people handling scales fell short at that time. And God said, you can't out. You cannot be used by God if you don't have a big stomach to stomach nonsense. Yeah. Yeah. I sometimes see people, little girls on the road. They see you driving, they see you, and they pass you straight. Sometimes I shake and they don't even wink an eye. And when I pass them, I say to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies are blue. Hey. I said, me. I can play big man. And not even look your direction. Drive fast. When I see you, when there's water, I'll go through the water will splash on you. Now you, a pastor, shaking at you. And then you pass straight. I said, what a shock. Is it that, so, I mean, most of you, of course, when you see the pastor, you know, you shake a very, you know, smile and all. No. It's not everybody who's like that. I even see people on the road. Sometimes I'm in a car with my children, and then somebody will say, pastor. And I'll say, and they'll say, daddy, you know, I don't know him. I don't know the person. The person doesn't come to the church I pastor. But they know me from somewhere, somehow. And then they shake. The other day, I was at the high court. I was looking for some information. And then the lady was being served. So I went and stood around her, and I was asking whether she knows about the information I came looking for, because it was a little difficult to get somebody to answer my questions. So as I was talking to her, then she was trying to play fresh. Right? I mean, I look good, so when you don't take care. All right. She was trying to play fresh. And then, you know, I was talking. And then she said, you's a pastor? I said, yes, I am. How did you know? She said, you dip on radio? I said, yes, I am. He said, early morning? 98.1 or so? I said, yes. He said, oh, I listened to your program. I said, then I got my answer and I left. She didn't get satisfaction. So she sent a message to us. She said, oh, she met me at the high court. I mean, it's like she's met somebody supernatural. Yeah. Yeah. No, many of you young people, you don't have respect. When you see an older person, you don't even say good morning or good afternoon. And that attitude and behavior has transferred to even the pastor. So when you see the pastor, you don't even say good morning. You walk straight. Some of you, sometimes when we are standing here and you are passing, especially those of you who live around here, we'll be here talking and all of that. And then you have your umbrella. Today, was it Janine? Where's Janine? Where's Janine? Where are you? Today, like that, she passed straight. And I said, hey, girl, what happened to you? She didn't even stop. She passed here. Her pastor is in the yard. She would say, good morning, pastor. No, pass straight like nobody's in the yard. No. It's the habit of many young people around here. But you see, it is these same people, Marceline, it's these same people that we are supposed to love and take care of. If you can't take care of these people, you cannot be used by God. And the more you can deal with complicated people, the more God anoints you. Yeah. Look at what we've come to do. I have come from nowhere to be with you. My upbringing, my background is completely different from yours. And look at how many people God has brought here. Maybe I have some small people handling skills. Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I don't understand you completely. But I don't really care about that. I still want to be with you. Yeah. I still want to be with you. Yeah. I know you don't behave like how people I expect, but it's okay. In the sweet by and by. Yeah. But if you can't handle something like that, then God will not add to the people that you have. Let me close with this. I have my mother's sister. I think I told the leaders about this story. My mother's sister, I don't think she was married then, but got pregnant. She was big, got pregnant, and had a nice, beautiful, bouncing, juicy baby. And she was a woman who likes to go out. Sport bad. And then one night, she left the baby and went to the club. Went to dance. Dance a whole night to the morning. All night long. When she came back in the morning, she found her baby dead. She never got pregnant and gave birth to a child until now. I think she's even dead. Why should God give you another baby? When you leave a little baby, people, even a boy, you kiss the baby boy, isn't it? But when he grows, you can't kiss him. It's a baby, it's a boy. You wait a little bit, you kiss him. People laugh, even if it's a boy, they kiss. Poo-poo, they will take whatever. Even back in, isn't Nigeria or Ghana, Raphael? When the baby gets blocked nose, they put their mouth and then you pull the phlegm like that. And then I'm sure some of you are saying, yuck. You will not get one to even say yuck. She never had a child again. I'm sure God was probably saying that. I gave you one. You left the baby in the bed with a net or whatever. Went to club. You came back in the morning. Suffocated. The baby had put some cloth over itself. Suffocated, died. Why do you want another baby? So your people handling skills, ladies and gentlemen, will put you in a position where God will use you. My time is up. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Hey, there must be clapping. Share. thank you, Jesus. Wow, why don't you thank God? Somebody just begin to pray. Thank God for
His word. Ask the Lord to work on you, your people handling skills. Speak to the Lord. Say, Lord, work on my people handling skills. I want to be used by you. 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 Lord, Lord, work on my skills, my people handling skills. Do something on me, oh God. Do something on my heart. Work on my patience. Work on my attitude. Lord, I have an attitude that doesn't help me to handle people. And I know that if that is my problem, then you will not be able to use me. What an honor to be used by God. Pray that God will touch your skills. He will touch your people handling skills. That you become sweet. You become loving. You become patient. You will tolerate the things that people will do. Speak to the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to help you. Kabrondo romo sikebe. Rakataya babandara baba. Rakabara banderebe shekebrende. Rabababa sikataya balababa. Reke berende masana makaya balondo melondos. Rike bere mesekete berende mesende. Rakataya babandara makabrandere bebe. Kayandere me kabranda ya baba. Rasekete bere bebe. Robo sakataya bababa. Rakabababa. Rabasika taya barabara berebe shekebere. Reke berebe sikataya baba. Rakabarababa sendere berebe. Pray, Lord, somebody. Pray and ask God. Pray and ask God. Say, Lord, help me. Sharpen me. Sharpen me. Work on my skills, oh God, for an increase, for a harvest. I want to be used by you, oh God. Randerebe kabranda masanda baba rekeberebe shikataya bala babandoro yololo bosoko toyo romo rikabara bandiri misegete yebebe andala makabrandere mekabaranda raya baba baba sindere mekebrende andiri mekabranda masanda kaya baba. Blessed be your name, O God. Karabashikete yebebe kabarandere baba sikataya baba. Father, tonight we give you praise for what you've spoken to us about. Thank you that you require, you look at how we treat one another. In fact, your word says that if we say we love God and we hate our brother, then we are liars. For how can we love a God we have not seen before and hate the brother who we see all the time? We pray the Lord you sharpen our skills when it comes to dealing with your people. They are your people. The people you died for. The people you shed your precious blood for. Teach us and help us to be able to handle people. Show them love and patience as you place us above them. Thank you for speaking to us tonight. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name, you are here tonight. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. If I were to die right now, I'm not sure whether I would go to heaven or hell. Pastor, please, I want to be born again tonight. I want Jesus to come and live in my heart. Right now, I'm not sure if I were to die right now, whether I would go to heaven or hell. I want to be born again. If you're here like that, while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, just lift up your right hand wherever you're standing. Pastor, please pray for me. God bless you. I see that hand. Pastor, please. I want to be born again. I want Jesus. I want to invite Jesus into my heart. You are here like that tonight. Just your right hand up high and I'll pray for you. God bless you. I see that hand. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to come to the front. I want to pray for you. Come.
Jesus is coming.
Come to the front. God bless you.
His grace will be your covering.
God bless you. You lifted up your hand. Come to the front.
It will provide your healing. Come run into the mercy seat.
He said
that I could come into his presence without fear.
Into the holy place.
Into this holy place where his mercy hovers near.
You want to come quickly.
Come running.
Come running.
Come running.
Come running.
Come running to the mercy seat where Jesus is calling.
God bless you.
His grace will be your covering. His love will flow freely. It will provide your healing. Come on into the mercy seat.
Just close your eyes with me tonight. It takes a simple prayer and your life is changed forever. If you believe in Jesus, if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for your sins, if you believe that God raised him from the dead when he died on the cross and on the third day he was alive, and if you believe that Jesus is alive right now, if you believe in it, the Bible says that if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. For it is with the heart that one believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you believe these things, then I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I confess Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and my Lord. I invite Jesus Christ to come and live in my heart, to be my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. I believe with all my heart that by this prayer, I am born again. My name is written in the book of life, and I am a child of God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for having mercy on me. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.